Well, they told us the next week they thought there were going to be 80 campers, but I think it was around 71 for each week, a different group. And they have people on a waiting list that couldn't even get in. So they've talked about in the past having 3 weeks, but I think it's almost an impossibility to be able to get that many workers for those times. But thank you for the ones who came and helped out with the camp, because they need all the helpers they can get as counselors. I don't know how many of you get the Uplift magazine, but the one that I just got has the article about Mr. Bloom that had died in June, Herman Bloom. And it tells him here that he worked in, after he graduated from Bible College, Columbia Bible College, he went up into the hills of Kentucky and taught Bible in the schools in Jackson, Kentucky. And any of them that's ever been to camp know that Jackson's the last town we go through before we get to Beattyville. And it's an area where the Kentucky Mountain Mission has missionaries that are going into the schools. So very possibly this man could have been the one who got this started of going into the schools like that. So read that article if you've got that magazine. The last time that I spoke with you, or I started a series, and I don't know how long ago it's been, but it's been a long time. I could look at the dates. But we were talking about the living words of our Christian faith, and I'm going to go back and give you the eighth that we've already covered, and then we'll start on another one tonight. But the first one was salvation, and that's the word of power. And then we had substitution, the word of grace. Propitiation, the word of satisfaction. Reconciliation, the word of peace. Redemption, the word of freedom. Justification, the word of assurance. Regeneration, the word of life. And sanctification, the word of purity. And we think of the verses that say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Speaking of sanctification. Well, the one that we're going to talk about tonight, I'm going to give you a little test to see if you can tell me which one it is. But Galatians chapter 4, if you'll turn to that. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And we've already had the word redemption. So what word do you think it would be? Adoption. Adoption, and that's the word of love. Now, we've got some here that have adopted children. They went out and they chose the children for various reasons. Different ones are not able to have children, and they adopt them. But they make a choice. You know, those of us who had children, we didn't have any choice. Whatever we got, that was it, you know. But these people that adopt, they had a choice. They went out and chose theirs. And it's the word of love. It's, you know, demonstrating your love toward this one to adopt them. It's the placing into a family one who does not belong to it by birth. Now, Henry Thiessen, in his theology book, says, "It would appear that Paul regarded the Old Testament believers as children, but nevertheless as minors. But the New Testament believers he regarded as both children and adult sons. The chief advantages of sonship, according to Paul, were deliverance from the law, Galatians 4, 3 through 5, and the possession of the Spirit of sonship, Galatians 4, 6. We may summarize, in regeneration we receive a new life, in justification a new standing, and in adoption a new position." Now look at Galatians 4 and verses, we'll just start out with verse 1 and read through to verse 6, Galatians 4. "Now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Adoption, the word of love. First of all, we want to look at the background of adoption. And as I was looking at this, Warren Wiersbe, in his study of Galatians, the book is called Be Free, says, it is unfortunate that many translations of the New Testament do not make a distinction between children of God and sons of God. We are the children of God by faith in Christ, born into God's family, but every child of God is automatically placed into the family as a son. And as a son, he has all the legal rights and privileges of a son. When a sinner trusts Christ and is saved, as far as his condition is concerned, he is a spiritual babe who needs to grow. And 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 3, Wiersbe refers to, where it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So he says, he is a spiritual babe who needs to grow. But as far as his position is concerned, he is an adult son who can draw upon the Father's wealth and who can exercise all the wonderful privileges of sonship. We enter God's family by regeneration, but we enjoy God's family by adoption. And then A.R. Fawcett says, by the Roman law of adoption, which required a due legal form, the adopted child was entitled to the father's name, possessions, and family's sacred rights as his heir at law. So, adoption as we think of it today, adoption as Paul talked about it here, there are similarities because a child who is adopted into a family, they receive the legal rights of being that person's child. And they have a right to certain privileges as a child of that person who adopted them. I was thinking, this summer we did the life of Moses. And I was thinking of Moses. Here was Moses. His mother and dad tried to spare his life by keeping him there in their home for 3 months. And when they finally saw that they could do that no longer, she fixed that little basket and put him out to the river. And the king's daughter found him. And after staying in the home with his mother and she was able to raise him for a while and was paid by the king's daughter to do that, he moved into the palace. He had all the rights and the privileges of a king's son. And as I shared with the campers this summer, I believe that he was being prepared to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. So he had every privilege that a son who was born into that family would have. But he was adopted into the family. Now, the basis of adoption. First of all, God's predestinating love. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1. Is this clock right? Okay, I won't put my watch up here because I won't see it anyway. All right. Doesn't mean a thing, does it? God's predestinating love. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now notice these words. There in verse 4 it says, chosen. According as He hath chosen us in Him. And that's what we said about adopting. Chosen. God chose us to be in His family. We have been chosen by God. The Creator of the whole universe, the Creator of all things, chose you and me to be His children, to be adopted into His family. And then predestined. And according to the good pleasure of His will, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So adoption is something that God has planned. We're chosen in Him. And it says before the foundation of the world, before God created anything, He had already planned how we would be saved, how our adoption would take place, how that Jesus Christ would pay the price in order that we might be adopted into His family. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for us." Before the foundation of the world, God had planned for our adoption, for Jesus Christ to shed His blood that we might be adopted into His family. God loved us so much that He was willing to pay the price for us, for our adoption, by giving His Son to die for us. So, the basis of adoption is God predestinating love, but it's also God's provision of grace. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law." God sent Him forth. God's provision of grace. 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich." God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition of grace. It's not something that we deserved. It's not something we could earn. Some two ladies came to my door today, and they had their Bibles with them. And I knew right off who they were because they also had their little Watchtower book with them. And I still haven't learned to be nice to these people. I'm sorry, but I haven't. Because my feeling is they're sending a lot of people to hell with their lies. And they kept wanting to talk to me, and I kept telling them I did not want to talk with them. I would like for them to leave my house and take my name off their list, not to come back there again. But when you say something about that they believe they have to work their way to heaven, they said, "You really believe that that's the way we do?" I said, "Yeah, I believe that." And I said, "It's only by the shed blood of Christ. If you add anything on to it, if there's anything, baptism, whatever it is, if you have anything that you think you have to do to earn your salvation, it becomes a work salvation. And it's not the salvation that we read about in the Bible. Because God did not have to use us to do anything. We didn't have to pay for our adoption. He did it for us. By the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us. So the basis of adoption is God's predestinating love and God's provision of grace. And then there's God's purchasing power. Galatians 4:5. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The word redemption is speaking of a price being paid to redeem us who were condemned by the law. There's never been a man living on the face of this earth that could keep all the law except Jesus Christ. No one of us could do it. But God sent His Son to redeem us, to pay the price for our redemption. Over in Acts 20 and verse 28 says, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And that was Acts 20, verse 28, the last part of verse 28. But then we have it there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the first part of verse 18 and verse 19, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But then another verse, two verses found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And there are two of those I have on my list that I try to quote every morning when I'm walking. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been bought with a price, the Lord Jesus Christ. The most precious thing to God, the Father, was God the Son. And God chose to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to be born of a virgin. And there was only one purpose that He came, and that was because of us. And as I told the campers this summer, you know, if you had been the only person living, just think of that. If you had been the only person living, you were the only person that ever lived on this earth, God would have sent His Son to die for you. That's how personal it is. God would have sent His Son to pay for our adoption. The basis of adoptions, God's predestinating love, God's provision of grace, God's purchasing power. And He's the only one who had the purchasing power to pay for our sins. But then we have the benefits of adoption. The benefits of adoption. First of all, the first benefit is freedom. Romans 8, 14 and 15. Romans 8, 14 and 15. And you find a lot in Romans chapter 8 about this freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received the spirit of bondage, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Freedom. Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. John 8:36 says, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom is a benefit of our adoption. And then there's the parent-child relationship. And Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 6:18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said to these Jehovah's Witnesses today, I said, it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And she quickly said, was a God. I said, that's what you have in your translation. But I said, I have a copy of a Bible that was printed by the Watchtower Society, and it's the American Standard Bible, and in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I said, you changed it. It makes all the difference in the world. God had one only begotten Son. Anybody else that's a child of God had to be adopted into His family. And He used that one and only begotten Son to pay the price for our adoption. Then there's the third one. The third benefit is the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption. We saw that in Galatians 4:6. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba is another word for father. It's like saying daddy. I remember hearing Ellie Maxwell up at Prairie Bible Institute. He was telling about his son, Paul, who had gone to Lincoln, Nebraska to work for Back to the Bible broadcast. And one of the men from Back to the Bible told him, he said, I would just love to hear my son say daddy like your son says daddy. And that's what it is, Abba, Father. That personal relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that's the Spirit of adoption is a benefit that we have. The Spirit of God, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, comes into our hearts and takes up residence in us. And that's why we say there in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And that always bothers me because I see people treating a building that they call their church better than they treat their body that is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the place that He's chosen to take up residence in our lives. We have been adopted into His family, and the Spirit of adoption witnesses to us. Then the fourth one is, the fourth benefit of adoption is assurance. Romans 8:15-16. Assurance. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This lady told me today that she had hope of eternal life. But her thinking about hope is just like you saying, I hope it doesn't rain tonight, or I hope the sun's shining tomorrow. It had nothing to do with the biblical hope. Biblical hope is overwhelming confidence. Complete confidence. I'm as sure of heaven as if I were already there. And that's what our adoption means. It's assurance. The Spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. It's the internal witness of the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God, and we have an inheritance in heaven. And then number five, the benefit of adoption is the Father's provision and protection. The Father's provision and protection. And we see that in Matthew 6:31-33. Matthew 6:31-33. The Father's provision and protection. It says there, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 5 and verse 6, there in the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for ye shall be filled. If we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and as I walk in the mornings, I try to think of this. Think of the time that you've been the hungriest that you've ever been. Think of the time that you've been the thirstiest that you've ever been. So thirsty that you drink water out of a mud puddle. It said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And He promises that they shall be filled. If we're really hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we're going to walk in righteousness. Because God makes that provision. He provides and He protects. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Jesus is speaking to the 12 disciples. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And some of us are keeping Him pretty busy with that. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. And as I read that passage, I thought about Ethel Waters, who sang for Billy Graham Crusades for many years, and her favorite song to sing was His Eyes on the Sparrow. And I know He's watching you. His eyes on the sparrow. And that's what the Lord was saying there. Even when a sparrow falls to the ground, the Lord's concerned about it, and He's much more concerned about us. So our adoption, a benefit of that adoption, is the Father's provision and His protection. And then number six, the sixth benefit of adoption is access to the Father. Over in Luke chapter 15, and I'm not going to have you to turn to it because you know the story, the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 11 through 32. The prodigal son came to his father and asked for his inheritance, and he went off and he blew it. And he ended up eating grain with the hogs. And he came back home. And he was willing to be a servant to his father. His father came out and saw him coming and came out and met him and threw a big feast for him. He said, my son that was dead is now alive. Access to the Father. Even though this son had broken that father's heart, the father had open arms to him. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why we can come to prayer meetings, and that's why we can gather together and pray and bring our requests before Him. We can come boldly before the throne of grace because we're adopted into His family. The benefit of adoption. Number seven, the seventh benefit is the Father's training. Not only did God provide for our salvation, but He wants to teach us. We're told in Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has given us a roadmap to follow here in His Word. And He wants us to study His Word. He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us. the Father's training. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. Says there, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The benefits of adoption, freedom, parent-child relationship, spirit of adoption, assurance, the Father's provision and protection, access to the Father's training, and then the bliss of adoption. And that's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. The bliss of adoption. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. If you ever listened to J. Vernon McGee, he talked about that and how his wife would get upset with him because he was groaning. He said, I'm being scriptural. And it's right here in Romans 8. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We talk about salvation in three stages. If you're a Christian, you have been saved. You are being saved as you live your life here on the earth. And you shall be saved. That's that last step. And that's the last step in adoption. The adoption, where we go to be with Him forever, where we see the Lord forever, and we have new bodies. No more sickness. No more hair falling out. None of these things. No need of a doctor. No need of a dentist. No need of an emergency room. Everything perfect. No need of wheelchairs. And this is not just some fairy tale. This is the truth. This is the testimony of the Word of God. We have the bliss of adoption to look forward to, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, the future stage of our adoption. Adoption, the word of love. You can see why we call that the word of love. God chose us. Why would He choose us? I know Lois and Renee went to the Creation Museum, and maybe some of you have been to it. This year was our second time to go. But we went to the planetarium twice, and I even got the DVD of the planetarium show. But one of the things he was talking about, if you could go straight across the earth, it would be 8,000 miles. And yet, man has not even seen the majority of the universe. With all the telescopes and everything that they have, man has not even seen the majority of it. There are constellations and galaxies out there that no one's ever seen, that no one even knows about. And yet God's crowning jewel is on this little earth. Man. When He created all of that, and like Ken Ham says, it says, He made the stars also. That's all it says. He made the stars also. But all through His Word, He's showing us the plan that He has for us because He loved us so much. Adoption, the word of love. The background of adoption. The Roman law of adoption said that an adopted child was entitled to the father's name, possessions, and family's sacred rights. The basis of adoption, God's predestinating love, God's provision of grace, God's purchasing power. We've been bought with a price. The benefits of adoption, freedom, parent-child relationship, the spirit of adoption, assurance, the father's provision and protection, access to the father's training, the bliss of adoption, a heavenly home is awaiting for us. And Jesus Christ, for over 2,000 years, has been preparing a place for us. It took Him only 6 days to create everything. And for 2,000 years, He's been preparing for us a place in heaven. One other passage I want to look at, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. Romans 9, verse 25 and 26. As He saith also in Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And yet it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. We were not His people. Only Jesus Christ was. But we've been adopted. Here in Hosea, he's talking about our adoption. The Jews rejected the gospel and it came to the Gentiles. Over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if My people who are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And I've been thinking about that verse a lot as we think about elections coming up here in the United States. And that's a promise from God. If My people, if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And God says, I'll heal their land. My people, called by My name. We are His people, and we're called by His name because we have been adopted into His family. Adoption, the word of love. Thank you.